Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. It could even cause some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joke in your arsenal for any of voices. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined, as always, by the two greatest fantasy analysts in the baseball industry.
Fanily.
Mr. Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, as always, for your flattery and hyperbole.
All right, listen. I'm getting right into this. So, I am actually...
Why doesn't anyone ever like our posts? It's kind of bothering me. I don't know, Rudy, maybe we take off the like thing on the underneath the title. It's annoying. No one ever likes anything.
I thought we got like a couple likes a post.
LT is the only one who gets any likes.
Oh yeah, well he's. Oh, I was going with averages and not looking at Yeah, no, I think social media is broken.
That's because no one wants any of their friends to see Razzball. At least what I'm assuming and hoping.
In our focus groups, we want you to tell your friends about Razzball, even the ones that don't like fantasy sports, but mostly the ones that do. But we understand we're your little secret. We're your, you know, the person whispering you secrets to help you win your league, but we do like to be more popular.
We are your Manchurian candidate.
I'm thinking I might not have. Maybe I shouldn't have benched Bumgarner. I'm worried. Don't you? All right.
Great.
You want them to get hit?
Talking.
I don't know.
Lester just blew his chance at a win.
Do you want your pitcher to get hit when he's on your bench, or do you want him to pitch a good game so at least next time out he's not coming off a terrible start?
I want him going in the middle. I want him to have a 6-inning, 3-earned-run, 5K start, no decision,
right?
All right. So here's the thing. I am hijacking the podcast right now because
you're going on a rant.
I'm going beyond a rant. I'm going to let
you mad hell.
I'm not.
Are you? Yes or no?
I'm question. Canadian. Are you going to take it anymore? Heck.
Are you going to take it anymore? Yes or no?
I'm mad as H-E double hockey sticks.
that's mad.
All right, so I'm going to let you in on some of the inner workings, ladies and gentlemen, of Razzball. So I'm actually in Southern California because Gray said to me, Nick, there's a huge mustache convention going on in Southern California. Why don't you come down? We'd love to comp you a trip for all the great work you've done for the podcasts. Come on down to Southern California. Just do me one little favor. I just at the convention. I'm kind of a big deal. Can you just do some security for me? I said, sure, no problem. I'll leave Toronto in the fall and come on down to Southern California. Well, let me tell you, where do I begin?
I told you not to approach Raleigh Fingers in the bathroom. That was rule number one.
All right, first of all, at this mustache convention, Gray's the biggest thing other than Tom Selleck.
You're never bigger than Holly Fingers. That's like saying you're bigger than Jesus. You just don't say it. And Gossage. You can't beat Gossage and Fingers.
I have been beating away the 50-year-old women and the 50-year-old hairy large men, keeping them at arm's
length. I'm not a bear. We should have did it live from the convention.
So let me tell you about the great hotel room that the lovely staff at Razzball has put me up in. This little box. And it's so, and I can't put on the air conditioning because it's so loud.
Now you know what I wanted to give you a little taste of my environs.
And people keep trying to break into my hotel room.
Yeah, but you're like 100 feet from Gray. Come on, that's got to account for something.
I will be back.
They give you one of those steel bars to put against your locked door.
This hotel can't afford to put on your steering wheel.
It's got screen doors. Beautiful weather. Bad neighborhood. Sorry.
So I just wanted to get that off my chest. So I think what I'm trying to say is you need to buy him more daiquiris for help with your baseball team. There's a link.
We put all the money into the site. We don't put it on travel expenses. And what do you think we are?
I think we need to have a policy that it has to at least be a one-star hotel. I don't think that's too much to ask.
We can look into it. We can look into it. But, you know, I ask you this. Is it, if you were a Hollywood star and you were trying on the down low to have, have sex with a ugly hooker, like I'm thinking like the Hugh Grant scenario. Isn't the hotel you're at perfect for that kind of thing?
The problem is they think I'm the hooker. Although I will say there's a major television studio right across the street, and I don't know why, but there's constantly an ever-moving line of like 300 young, beautiful women. And I don't know if they're there for casting or extras.
Don't even get me started on that mess.
Oh, you haven't.
It's the audience. No. He's literally at the end of my block. He's right by CBS Studios where they film American Idol, X Factor, The Voice. So all those stunads then park on my street.
Is that what that is? I thought that was like casting.
No. You think they would cast those people? Look at them.
No, we're looking at different lines because this is, I mean, it's all beautiful.
No, that's not the talent. No way. That's all the people coming in that want to sit like in the camera shot behind CeeLo. They're like the people who are like, whoa, ducking into the camera shot. That's them.
All right, shall we get to baseball?
Oh, also Price is Right, this film there, which I've gone to see a few times because it's literally 100 feet away from me.
It's got to be much worse with Drew Carey, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
Like if Drew Carey said, "Hey, you guessed it on the dot. Go grab $100 out of my pocket." How many people are saying like, "I'm good"? I don't need the $100 that bad. I'm afraid it's gonna be like that popcorn trick in Diner. It's like, oh, there's no lining in these pants.
Okay. Anyway, on to baseball. So, gentlemen, listen. We are perilously close to running out of podcasts this season because the baseball season is quickly wrapping up. I know myself. In the mom and pop shop leagues that I play in, I'm trying to close a couple of them out with so little time left. I mean, we're talking, you know, 2.5-3 weeks here. Is there anything you can do? Are there any type of end of season strategies? I've been using the Streaminator, but other than that, is there anything that you can do at this point of the season, or is it just kind of sitting there nervously?
You know, I mean, there's not much I think you can do on the hitting front. I think the only thing you could do on the hitting front is, you know, as the rosters expand, if you've got a guy in your team that, you know, maybe you've even carried him the whole way and you want to see him, you know, let him go all the way through, see you win the pennant. But he's getting four or five, he's sitting twice a week. You've got to cut bait. You know, like you need the at bats on the hitting, but for the most part, I think it's just checking to see when maybe that, you know, like a Russ Kanzler suddenly becomes the cleanup hitter of the Indians. Now, there's no one hitting between fifth and ninth on that team, but a cleanup hitter is still probably better than who you've got in your util. Util, it's the first time I've ever said it like that. But that's how I read it when I see UTIL on the pay. I'm like, oh, the util.
How do you say MI?
The meh.
The meh.
The
meh.
The internal just voice. Like. Rudy's internal voice isn't so good. It's not like the external one's great either. It's the pitching where I'm putting the most focus and the goals to whether it's an innings league or a game start league. You know, I'm looking to basically optimize it through the end of the season and kind of checking out everyone else. If I'm in a league where, you know, everyone else is maxing out on their starts. You know, I would have been doing this since August. That, you know, hoard your relievers. Don't let anyone, because everyone's going to need relievers once they max out on their starts, or even as they're getting close to the innings max. If you're in a league where, and right now RCL is like that, this for me, where there's a few teams who are maybe at pace and they still have room to start guys, instead of streaming, I'm kind of, if I get a guy who ends up being pretty good, I'm holding on to him a little bit longer. I don't want to wait and be dependent on streams to get me all the way there. So if there's a guy who's just good, you know, and I mean, I don't know, maybe like a Wade Miley, or, you know, I think I picked up Brett Anderson like 2 weeks ago. It's like, don't let him go, because the last thing you want is to, you know, the last week you're dependent on schmoes to get you to the max.
Yeah, I'm running schmoes right now, quite frankly.
I got Estrada going today. He's looking okay.
I'm streaming. I'm going with Williams, Jerome Williams tonight for the Angels.
Ooh, that is a schlub. Is that a 12-team league? You're going with Jerome Williams?
You know what? It's Oakland, so I'm kind of hoping. I don't know.
Is that 12-team? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, you know what it is. At this point, I'll give you an example. I'm about 60 innings behind, or the pace. So,
oh yeah, so you're desperate, man. Why were you being so stingy?
You know why? Because here's a great example. I took your advice in the preseason. It was a 1,500 inning cap, so I ran a lot of middle relievers, which was actually great for my ERA and WHIP. But now I'm trying to see what I can do in terms of catching up on some wins here.
No, well, I mean, one thing you got to look at is if you've got a big buffer on ERA and WHIP, you know, then it's worth kind of maybe gambling a bit more. We're doing that in AL only league, where we've been starting guys like Corey Kluber and Samuel Deduno. Just
that sounds
who are like you, Sam? Who are you, Samuel Deduno?
It sounds like a law firm in Miami.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, but that's only really if you have the luxury of having like, yeah, a healthy lead on ERA and WHIP.
Well, at this point,
do you say Rudy? Do you say Giancarlo Stanton, Mia of?
Not quite that, but yeah, you're right. Outfield would read as of. That's a good point.
I'm stuck on that. my record's broken. Yeah.
That's funny. I always call it util. I never say utility. I always call it util. Right.
It sounds wrong, but it's just. I'll have to make sure I call it the utility slot.
Oh, by the way, Bumgarner gave up a run. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. It's Colorado. You've got. Of course you got to bench him.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad, though. Like, in this time of year with all the head-to-head playoffs, I feel bad when I'm giving out advice on sitting, you know, number ones, and people are listening to me, and then...
Head-to-head's different.
Yeah, I know. But for head-to-head, I feel like you had to bench him in Colorado no matter what. He was coming after, I think, three bad starts, too.
Okay, so actually, let's transition that because we don't talk as much about head-to-head. How would you – Greg, give me some tips here on how you would try and close it out in head-to-head. Because, I would still, even in Colorado, I probably would have started him.
Me too.
Yeah. I think head-to-head is – well, he's coming off of, let's see, four earned and six innings, four earned and four innings, and four earned and six innings, his last three starts. Against, you know, Arizona, Chicago, and the Braves. So I don't know. I contemplated telling people to start him, but I was benching him, so I figured it was the right move. Anyway, I think head-to-head is similar to Roto, but a little even more extreme. I don't think you're not holding on to anyone who's not playing every day and is hitting currently. I think, I picked up Brock Holt, the shortstop in Pittsburgh, and those are the kind of guys you got to be looking at right now to try and get any sort of hits you can.
Right.
He's leading off. He has some speed, and he's been hitting. I think he's around 400 for the last week. So, guys like
whoever they put in Pittsburgh leadoff, you're like Jose Tabata. I'm in. Alex Presley. He could be my hound dog. And now it's like Brock Holt, who sounds like he's some type of he's like a wrestler type. Like, Brock Holt's got him in the exterminator. Or the,
he sounds I don't know.
Like he's got Elliot. Him to walk in the
he's a, he sounds like a superhero alias.
A what?
Superhero. A superhero alias, yeah. Like a Clark Kent.
I thought you said like a Bret Easton Ellis character. I love Brock Holt. Brock Holt. I'm a serial blank.
I'll slit your throat.
Do you like Whitney Houston?
How about Genesis?
Wow, Genesis reference.
Freddie's Nellis.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, speaking of funny names, what about this 39-year-old rookie who's hit 4 million home runs this year, Darren Ruff, a.k.a. Babe Ruff? How do you look at a guy like that? Because Philly just called him up, correct?
Yeah, no, I think, the Phillies... They don't know what they're not used to being, out of playoff contention. So I think, they're just calling up just about anyone, as anyone that isn't named Dominic Brown that they don't have to look at. Greg, you've been on the Darren Ruff. You've at least looked at him.
Well, he's got 38 homers in the minors.
He reminded me a lot of Matt Stairs. I think he's a righty, though. I think he had 38 homers, but 20 in August. So as of July 30th, he wasn't on anyone's radar for prospects. He had a really insane month of August, and he suddenly emerged, on some prospect list. But he doesn't profile really for any position. He looks like he could hit 230 and maybe a little pop. I don't see him really adding much other than if he gets hot in the last couple of weeks, then definitely add him. But other than that, I don't see much wrong.
And he's been playing first in the minors, right?
Yeah.
So like I said, we're just gonna put him in the outfield because that works out really well. He's not athletic enough to play outfield in the minor leagues. But bring him up. It's like it works so well for guys like Mike Karp and
play Juan Pierre 5 feet in front of him, and then he gets the ball. He just passes to Juan Pierre and he runs it in.
I think they'll stash Juan Pierre in his pants, and then it's like all of a sudden Juan Pierre can jump out like Curious George and the man with the yellow.
Oh, hat. This is embarrassing, Brock Holt. What is he looking at? Some sort of girls in the first row? What's oh no, it's Juan Pierre.
Oh, hey, listen though, he is 26 years old. At what point is someone no longer considered a prospect?
Ben,
it's about 26. It's like except Ryan Howard. So Ryan Howard, I think, did it, but I can't really think of anyone that came up that late. Like, I mean, Garrett Jones. he was in the minors for a long time.
Right, Ryan Ludwig was in the minors real late.
Justin
Maggio, but he's not really. I don't know. He might be just a good hot.
No. He was just. I mean, you got to give Cheese time to age.
Yeah.
That's why Trout is up early. You don't want to. You don't want the fish age. That sounds ready right out of the sea.
Hey, what about Aroldis Chapman? Apparently, his fastball slowed down a bit. He looks a little fatigued. worth picking up Broxton, but also, are you concerned long-term, Gray, with Chapman?
Yeah, I think there was actually some news today even furthering that, I think they're shutting him down for the near future and going with Broxton, maybe Marshall. But Aroldis is, yeah, something's up with his shoulder. He might miss the rest of this year, including the playoffs. I'm not sure. I would definitely pick up Broxton immediately. And if you have room, it's worth speculating on Marshall as well.
I guess I missed that because I was out picking up your groceries for you.
You were standing in the closet, scared to come out into your room.
What's with this organic crap? Who asked for organic stuff?
This segment was brought to you by Erewhon, the organic grocery store in Gray's neighborhood.
So that's interesting. Seriously though, Rudy, are you concerned long term with the shoulder injury? I mean, you can't throw that hard.
I'd be lying and I don't know how you teach someone to just throw it at 95. It's certainly possible that he can't be a great pitcher at throwing 95. I mean, because God knows Ubaldo Jimenez doesn't look like he could be a great pitcher if he throws 92. Right. So that's the tough thing to say. It's like for every guy that's like, you know, like Verlander is like, yeah, I'll throw it in the 93, 94. But if there's men on, I'll throw it faster.
Right.
It's like there's gonna be guys like Chapman that can't do it. I think where I think like just for next year, what this does is this is gonna scare him out of putting him in the starting rotation. I feel like if this shoulder issue is something that keeps him out for a couple weeks, it's just going to be an easy excuse to make sure make him a reliever again next year versus even try to start him.
I'm just waiting to hear how Gray is going to put this on Dusty Baker somehow.
Yeah. No, it's not Dusty's fault at all.
Yeah.
But, Dusty with a pitcher with arm trouble? That's crazy. I don't understand.
I'll say that it's like it could very well, but I mean I feel like the general consensus at least on the interweb has been that, you know, it's kind of a waste having him as a closer versus a starter. And I kind of look at Joba Chamberlain as one where it's like sometimes if you've got a guy who's lights out in the relief, yeah, he just might not be built to start.
Right.
That could be it with Chapman. Maybe he's a guy who can give you like 50, 60 innings. You're not going to pitch him. Oh my God, maybe they have to give him the Joba rules to roll this Chapman. Maybe if they had the Joba rules, he would have been okay.
I always thought it was Joba.
Yeah, I get Joba too.
Joba, it's not a real name.
Okay. Crystal
meth, crack cocaine, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what naming they're getting the reservations. I think they might have, I don't know what it's for. Joba. I think you're right. It's probably Joba. Right. But I feel like you'd be making a joke at his expense because like Joba the Hutt. So it's like, oh no, it's Joba. Whoa, it's Joba. Job. Oh, come on.
I can't get a Joba in the rotation. Oh, this is interesting. I looked up the latest on Aroldis, and Dusty had a moment of clarity. His exact quote is, "We're lucky we got to this point."
Oh, hold on. I just got a text. Your dry cleaning's ready. Great. I'll be right back. 2 minutes.
You got a dry clean t-shirts.
I know. I got to dry clean the gray pits in my arm.
I know. It's nice that you started ironing your boxers and all, but
okay, I'm back. It's guys. Like,
these pleated boxers are fantastic.
Really? You had to get the Sparky ankle biter t-shirts dry cleaned? Okay, let's talk about Gio Gonzalez now. Gio obviously is having a Cy Young consideration season. Where does he fit next year? Is he a top five, top 10 pitcher, Gray?
I'd say he's top 7. split the difference.
I was going to say 7.5.
Do you want to add a decimal there?
I'm not hedging or anything.
Is there a plug-in that you can build, Rudy, for the site?
the gray hedge.
The estimatinator.
Oh, I'll have something on it next year. Don't worry.
The Gray Hedge app. Aramis is 7 for his last 20 with 5 homers. Gray told you to get him. Aramis is 0 for his last 30. Gray told you to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So the Gray Hedge app.
Yeah, exactly. It basically, we're going to have real-time stats that it changes the projection. It starts with it fades it out and stuff like that. It's like it's a sun and a moon, and as the guy does worse, the sun fades. And the moon gets more
the Gray Hedge app. I like that.
Okay, well, I got a perfect candidate for the Gray Hedge app.
Oh, I was gonna say
Giancarlo. Never hedge. Love Giancarlo Stanton, Mia. Oh,
yeah. I'd say I'm not as sure on Gio next year. I think he might be benefiting from that first year in the NL kind of thing.
Right.
But he has been awesome, and I wish Gray thought to draft him in one of our leagues besides his RCL. Instead, speaking of the hedge-o-meter, it was Annabelle Sanchez from the eighth round on. Annabelle.
I told everyone to drop him when he went to the AL. I hedged out.
Annabelle.
All right, speaking of the hedge-o-meter, Mark Trumbo. I mean, that's a guy. You want to talk about flip-flopping this year? He's hit 175 the last 2 months. Where does he fit next year, Greg?
I told everyone to drop him 60 days ago. I swear to you, you can look on the site.
That I'll say that. It was basically, you had him under sell for he set the record for the most sell mentions, I think.
Yeah.
And be like, I still don't understand how he's doing it. Get rid of him. I still don't know how he's doing it.
Well, I mean, when you look at a guy who's hitting 320 and he should be hitting 250, there's obviously an issue. Yeah. I never doubted the power. I think next year, I even said this a few podcasts ago. If he starts off April and he's hitting 220, he's not the Socia's going to bench him and he's not even going to be a starter. So he comes with a lot of risk next year. I think if he's, if he's hot in April and you get him in the seventh round, you could have a guy who again can carry you for about 3 months. But he's not what he was in the first half, and he's also not a 170 hitter.
All right, Rudy, who would you rather have next year? And I'm not going to ask Gray this because I know he'll hedge-o-meter it. But would you rather have Pedro Alvarez or Mark Trumbo going into next year?
Ooh, that's a tough. probably Trumbo. I still kind of see I've been shocked Alvarez has been able to do what he has here. I guess I'm going to look at read some stuff on him, but I still don't believe he hits curveballs. I think
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think it's around 30% K rate. His K rate's obscene. So, yeah,
I feel like Trumbo's shown. I mean, there's 29 homers last year. He's already got 30 this year. He's got power. I had a question on his playing time going into this year. It's probably going to extend it to next year so I'd still take Trumbo. I don't think Alvarez could hit 250 in the major leagues.
Yeah, fair enough.
Trumbo can, just not much higher.
Kyle Kendricks had a 2.3 post All-Star break ERA. What do you think about him going forward, Greg? Next year, I mean, obviously.
What? What'd you say?
Kyle Kendrick.
Oh, Kyle Kendrick. Yeah, it's a 2.5 ERA in the second half, right?
Yeah.
I think his K rate's much better in the second half too. I'm gonna be looking at him as a breakout for next year, trying to He won't quite be my Annabelle, but he might be on a couple of my teams towards the end of the draft if I can get him like around the fifth starter.
Interesting. What do you think, Rudy?
His K rate, I mean, his K rate was laughable his career. Now it's up to 6.5 Ks per nine. And he doesn't have great control. And he pitches in a park where it's kind of easy to hit home runs.
Yeah, but he's got a NASCAR driver name, man, that you want him on your team.
Yeah. I don't have any piece of Kyle Kendrick. And even in an NL-only league, I don't want anything to do with Kyle Kendrick.
All right, here's someone interesting who is going to start again, I think tonight or tomorrow night, is Daniel Straley, who had a phenomenal year in the minors. What are we looking at him for next year, Gray?
What?
Okay.
I'll start, and you can kind of come in, Gray.
What'd you say?
Who? Huh? What? How? Where?
What kind of Wi-Fi connection?
Okay.
Fleabag Motel.
Quantos S. Straley going in.
Ayamo S. Greece.
Yeah. So you talk about Dan Straley.
Oh, Straley. I love him. No, actually, I got to look at what he was. I got to look to see a little bit closer at his stats. But I feel like he came out of nowhere. He wasn't on the. I don't even think he was on the A's top 30 prospect list coming into the season. So I mean, I guess it's possible he could come out of nowhere. But then to lead the minors and K's, he surprised a lot of people. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm really looking to grab him in, you know, every league just because he looked good this year in the minors. I'd like to see a little bit more in the majors. I think maybe a real like last round flyer on him. I don't expect him to come out of nowhere in the majors and be as good as he was in the minors.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I mean, I think I could sign on saying that I'm a little cautious on him. But when you were talking about how, you know, he came out of nowhere and started, yeah, it reminded me a bit of Brandon Beachy last year, where Beachy was kind of not. They had so many pitching prospects on Atlanta, and Beachy wasn't considered one of them, but he turned out to be the best of that group. I think we ended up with Beachy in a couple teams, and he was great until he got hurt. The thing was, I felt like
Beachy. And then the devil took back his elbow tendon.
Yeah. No, that's part of it. The question, I mean, I'd like to see how Straley does. If he gets maybe three or four starts at the end of the year that are good, I might be interested. But if he comes at Matt Moore inflation, I'm not going to have him on any teams.
Yeah, for sure. One more guy I wanted to run by you, supposed experts. Mark Teixeira, what is he anymore? Is he even a fifth rounder next year, Gray?
Who? I'm joking. I heard you that time. I was actually in my rankings this year. I said to stay away from him where he was being drafted at the end of the second, beginning of the third, and now he'd have to fall past. Past the sixth round, maybe in the sixth round and 12th team. So you're looking around 60th, 70th overall. I'm not excited about him. I prefer Adrian Gonzalez over Teixeira as of right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's Adrian's definitely ahead of him just because Teixeira at this point is a 250 hitter. But I still feel like he's a good, I mean, the calf injury is kind of random, but I still feel he's a 3,000 guy, and I don't think there's anyone. I mean, I think he's still slotted for third to fifth in the Yankee lineup, which should ensure the 100 RBI part. Yeah, I do agree that it's going to be tough to pick him in the second round again, and it's tough to put him ahead of Konerko. I think he's been the last in his tier. And now I think I'd say he goes to that second tier, probably, you know, close to Konerko.
I think he's around Trumbo right now.
No. You think really? I think he's a much better bet for the RBIs.
I don't think we can count on him to stay healthy anymore. I mean, before he was always pushed with his, you know, 160 games played, 700 at bats.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, he does. Yeah, I don't. He's not quite in Morneau area, but yeah. I mean, there are question marks on him. And let's put wherever he gets drafted. I probably would want to prefer to punt and just take a gamble on like it, on Adam LaRoche or something.
Well, look at it this
good
way.
Old Arby's roast beef.
look at it this way. Teixeira is going to probably be your corner man where you're going to be drafting him. So, do you want to take a corner man in the seventh, or do you want to wait and just go with a corner man later anyway? Because I mean, you should have a first baseman by that point.
You don't think he's in the top 12 in first baseman?
I think he's right around 12.
Remember, Miggy's out of first base now. So that's
I don't know. I mean, you're looking. I think he's probably around Ryan Howard.
Oh, I think I'd rather have. I don't want the shirt at all, but I'd rather have him than Howard. I think going into next year.
I mean, Ryan Howard's hit more homers a better homer per bat than Teixeira in his time back. He hasn't had any average, but Teixeira hasn't either.
Just to wrap up the show, I want to ask one more question, and it goes to, you know, guys like Teixeira, but also the Yankees have A-Rod locked in and Jeter locked in and Sabathia locked in.
Who's letting up? Yeah. Who's banging on the door for those guys?
Well, but really,
you can unlock the door. like the Red Sox did.
Is that like Hell's Kitchen?
The Red Sox opened up the window. Unlock the doors, like, come on, look at Josh Beckett. Don't you want some of that? Yeah, the Yanks, I don't think quite had the balls to basically try get LA to foot the bill on A-Rod and a few of those guys. Sabathia, I think it's a little too early to give up on. But A-Rod, oh, what an awful contract.
But those are terrible contracts. And, you know, it's not like they've got bats coming up in the system.
Right, I think A-Rod's probably officially the worst contract. Crawford is
Vernon Wells?
No. Vernon Wells only has like a year or two left, or 2 years left.
A-Rod, I think three.
Three.
Vernon Wells. Vernon Wells
have five or six.
Vernon Wells hit his 21st RBI like about a week and a half ago, and he's getting $21 million this year. That's fucking terrible.
I don't know. I haven't looked on Fangraphs. Is free agent translation $1 million per RBI, or is it a couple million per WAR? I forget. Yeah. Well, now the Angels and the Dodgers, the LA man, you guys are where there's prosperity. Nick, I think you should just kind of, you know, walk along Hollywood and Vine. You might get like Magic might give you some money.
Pixar money.
Oh, that crazy Pixar money.
LA is prosperous. Like, don't believe what you hear on the news about LA going bankrupt. We got Pixar money.
You never heard of Cars 4? Yeah. we went straight to kids' minds.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
Newman from Seinfeld. Newman from Seinfeld's going to voice the car instead of Paul Newman.
All right, listen, the good news is I'll be back in Toronto next week, so at least we'll be back in the studio. But, gentlemen, thank you again for another...
Bumgarner just gave up another run, yes!
I got to wrap this up, because I got to go pick up your stuff at the pharmacy that you asked for.
Oh, my bad. Oh, a pharmacy with the pharmacia, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, talk to you next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening to another great edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.